Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
Thank you, Rachel, for that reading. A well-known story that Jesus told, and you may well be asking yourself the question, but what has it got to do with Christmas? There was no manger, there were no shepherds. Well, there were. No, they were pigs. They weren't shepherds. They were people looking after pigs. There was no wise men. What has it got to do with Christmas? That story is, of course, the story that Jesus told. Jesus told many stories. We sometimes call them the parables of Jesus. That was the story of the parable of the prodigal son, or the story of the lost son. And it's a story that has captured the imagination of many people over the years. And in fact, one person was so impressed with it that he did a picture of this. We're going to need to skip through. The reading slides are at the beginning, so go to the end of the reading and you'll find a picture that was painted about this scene of the return of the prodigal. There it is. Can you see that? It's a little bit dark. Can you see the picture? It's a very, very famous, well-known painting. Let's turn this into a little bit of a quiz. Can anyone tell me which artist painted this picture? You're not supposed to put the answer up just yet. Come on. Yeah. Oh, which artist painted this picture? Rembrandt. Well done. Yes, that there. Oh, yeah. As if by magic, Rembrandt painted this picture of the return of the prodigal. And a bonus question. Where would you have to go if you wanted to see the original picture? I heard the answer there. St. Petersburg, that's right, well done. The Heritage Museum in St. Petersburg in Russia. Famous painting by Rembrandt. Well, while we're on the subject of art and paintings, let me show you another picture. Give you the opportunity to show me once again how much you know. And if we can try not to put the answers up too soon, that would be good. Let's put another picture up. That's another very famous picture in Christian art. Can anyone tell me who painted this picture? Someone on this side, maybe, other than Henry, who knows everything. Who painted this picture? Holman Hunt, that's right. William Holman Hunt painted this picture. Do you know what the title of the picture is? If you look very carefully at the screen, you'll be able to see it. Yes. It's called The Light of the World. And if you just, yes, if we enlarge that, but you can see the title of the picture at the top of the screen, and then at the bottom of the screen, there's a verse from the Bible. If we can just go to that picture, at the bottom of the screen, there's a verse from the Bible. Can anyone tell me, either you've got very good eyesight and you can read it, or you already know, which is the verse from the Bible that is at the bottom of this picture? I know you know, because you answered the last question, and Colin, you're just showing off, so... Someone else, what's the verse from the Bible that's at the bottom of this picture? Okay, Colin, you can tell us. Revelation 3:20, that was going to be the next question. Where in the Bible is it found? Now you're really showing off. So what does that verse say? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's right. And the bonus question was going to be, where do you find that in the Bible? And the answer is Revelation 3:20. Now, there are actually three versions of this painting, all painted by the same artist. There's one in Keble College in Oxford. There's one in the Manchester Art Gallery. Where would you have to go to see the third one? It's only the clergy who know the answers. Come on. Surely some of you have been to this place. St. Paul's Cathedral, that's right. It's here in London, in St. Paul's Cathedral, the light of the world. That's where you can see it. Okay, well, we've tested your knowledge of art. We've had Rembrandt and we've had Holman Hunt. Let's move on to music now. I've got a music question for you now. I'm going to play a track, and this is just going to be the opening notes of a track, about 19 seconds. And I want you to see if you can tell me which piece of music this is. What's the title of the piece of music?
Thank you. And now at this point, the soloist would start singing. What are the words that the soloist would sing? This is really testing your knowledge of music, isn't it? Oh, we have an answer down here, yes? It's about shepherds, but it's not quite that one, but that's very, very close. Anyone like to hazard a guess? One of the choir, maybe? One of our musical members that we shut away in a corner over here? No, Joe, no, that's not right. Och, Joe! Yes? He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Let's just check that that's right. Let's just play the next bit and see whether that was right. That was the right answer, absolutely. So, who was the composer of that piece of music? Handel. Good, someone's getting there now. And the name of the oratorio from which that piece of music is taken is Messiah. That's right, it's a piece of music from Messiah entitled He Shall Feed His Flock. So we've had two pieces of painting, of art, and we've had one piece of music. We've had Rembrandt's picture, The Return of the Prodigal Son. We've had Holman Hunt's picture, The Light of the World. And we've had Handel's Messiah pointing us to Jesus as the Good Shepherd who will feed his flock. Let's put them all on the screen, that's right. And now the really, really tricky question for you. Which British supermarket's 2015 Christmas ad links these three pieces together? Well, maybe you need to see it in order to work out what the connection is. Let's watch the first part of the ad.
What is it that makes Christmas, Christmas?
Have a banana, Anna. Try the salami, Tommy. Give it the gravy, Davy. Everybody eats when they come to my house. I fix your favorite dishes. Hoping this good food fills ya. Work my hands to the bone in the kitchen alone. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Hannah, Davy, Tommy, Dora, Andre. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Hey, this is a party, Marty. 'Cause everybody eats when they come to my house.
Okay, we faded it just before it told you which supermarket that was the ad for. So whose 2015 Christmas ad was that? Let's see if you're right.
Everybody eats when they come to mine.
Whatever makes your Christmas, make it right. Waitrose.
It was Waitrose. So what does this year's Waitrose Christmas ad that you've just seen have to do with those three things that I talked about, the two pictures and the piece of music? What's the theme that links them all together? Eating. That's the theme that links them all together. It's the song. It's an old jazz number, first recorded in the 1940s. And there's one line in it that is repeated again and again that is the title of the song, Everybody Eats When They Come to My House. And all the three pictures that we looked at, or the two pictures and the piece of music, at the end of the story of the prodigal son, when the prodigal son comes home to the father in that story, of course, representing God himself, Father God, what is it that the father says? He says, let's have a feast and celebrate. Let's eat together because my son has come home. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And he says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them. And of course, Jesus is the good shepherd who feeds his flock. So eating is what links those three together. And in particular, those three things, the pictures and the music, are all about God himself either feeding people or choosing to eat with them. So it's as if God himself says, everybody eats when they come to my house. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Now, there's another story that Jesus told about a man who put on a great dinner party, and like all the stories that Jesus told, he was telling us something about Father God. I was going to read it to you, but then I found this little video of it, so I thought you'd rather watch a video for a couple of minutes of this story that Jesus told from Luke chapter 14.
A man once gave a great banquet and invited a lot of guests. When the banquet was ready, he sent a servant to tell the guests, "Everything is ready. Please come." One guest after another started making excuses. The first one said, "I bought some land and I've got to look it over. Please excuse me." Another guest said, "I bought 5 teams of oxen and I need to try them out. Please excuse me." Still another guest said, "I've just gotten married and I can't be there." The servant told his master what happened. The master became so angry that he said, "Go as fast as you can to every street and alley in town. Bring in everyone who is poor or crippled or blind or lame." When the servant returned, he said, "Master, I've done what you told me, and there is still plenty of room for more people." His master then told him, "Go out along the back roads and fence rows and make people come in so that my house will be full."
Love that scene of the party at the end. That's a story that Jesus told. Because once again in the story, the man who throws the party, the man who puts on that great banquet, is of course Father God himself. And Father God sends his servant. And in other places in the Bible, Jesus is called the servant of the Lord. So God the Father sends Jesus his son to invite people to have a relationship with him that will be such a good and such a wonderful relationship that the best way to describe this relationship is like sitting down and having a wonderful meal together. Because God says, everybody eats when they come to my house. And the Christmas story that we're remembering in this service is all about Father God sending his son Jesus. Jesus, who was born as one of us, as a baby in the manger, but Jesus, who then grew up and became a man and passed on to us this invitation from God to come to be part of this great wonderful meal, this feast that God has prepared and that God has provided. Christmas is God saying to us, everybody eats when they come to my house, and you're invited. God's saying to us, you're invited. You're invited to come to my house. You're invited to be a part of my family. You're invited to become one of my close friends. You're invited to sit and eat with me and enjoy being part of my family, enjoy being my friend. You're invited. But in the story, some people didn't accept the invitation. They came up with all those excuses why they couldn't come. "I've just bought some land and I've got to go and look it over. I've just bought 5 team of oxen and I need to try them out. I've just got married, I can't be there." In other words, people were saying, "There's too much going on in my life at the moment for me to have time to have a relationship with God. My career's just taking off. Or I'm just settling down to get married and have a family." But God in the story and God today is determined, so he keeps on inviting more and more people. And there were other people who probably never expected to get an invitation to a banquet in a rich person's home. They were the poor, the disabled, the blind, or the lame. People like them never got invitations to meals in other people's homes, let alone to a banquet in a rich person's home. But to their surprise in this story, they're invited. In other words, Jesus is telling us, people who might think, I'm not the kind of person that God would want to know, find out that they're invited. People who think, I'm not the kind of person who'd ever fit into God's family, find out that God just keeps on inviting more and more people because he wants his house to be full. This Christmas, God wants to remind us, he wants to remind you that the reason Jesus came was to pass on God's invitation to you to come to his house, to be a part of his family, to be his friend, to come and eat with him. Because everybody eats, says God, when they come to my house. The good news of Christmas is you're invited. And there's an RSVP at the bottom of the invitation. So how are you going to reply to this invitation? Are you going to be like that first group in the story that Jesus told? People who say, no, there's just too much going on in my life at the moment for me to have time to have a relationship with God. What a tragedy that would be. Or are you like the second group, thinking, God would never want someone like me in his family. God would never invite me. He couldn't possibly be inviting me. The good news for you is, yes, he is. He's inviting you. Maybe there's another group of people here this evening, and you're more like the son in the first of the stories that Jesus told, going back to our first story, the story of the prodigal son. Maybe there was a time once where you did accept God's invitation. There was a time when you really enjoyed a relationship with Father God, but then you wandered away from God. And now you wonder if you could ever possibly be welcomed back. Would God really forgive you and accept you back again? Well, we know how that story ended. When the son came home, the father said, let's have a feast. Let's celebrate. You're invited too. Because the message of Christmas, not just from Waitrose, but from God himself, is that Father God sent his son Jesus into the world to invite us all to come into God's house, to be part of his family, to eat with him. Because God says, everybody eats when they come to my house. We're just going to take a moment to pray. Whilst we're praying, the choir are going to make their way back onto the stage behind me. If you think you'd find that distracting, just close your eyes while we pray, just for one moment. Father God, we thank you that you invite us to come, to be part of your family, to be your close friends. You invite us to come and sit down at a wonderful meal, to eat with you. You invite us. And just in this moment, as you hear that invitation from God to you this evening, I just want to invite you now, as we're praying together, what is it that you want to say to God? Please, please don't say to God, there's too much going on in my life at the moment for me to relate to you. Don't say that to God. And don't say to God, you wouldn't want someone like me because he's already told you he would. Don't say, I wandered away, you wouldn't want me back, because the story of the prodigal son says, yes, he wants you back. In this moment, as we pray, instead, why don't you just accept that invitation and say to Father God, yes, I want to be part of your family. I want to be your friend. I want to be one of those with whom you sit down and eat. Thank you for the invitation. Thank you, Father, that your word to us this Christmas is, everybody eats when they come to my house. And this evening we choose to accept your invitation.